Seguir adelante en adoración con abriendo la palabra de Dios. And today's scripture reading is going to come from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. La escritura de hoy va a ser del libro de Santiago, capítulo 1, versículo 19 al 27. I'm going to ask our brother Francis to actually lead us in reading the scripture for this morning as well, from James chapter 1, 19 to 27. The scripture will also be in the projector right behind me as well.
Okay, let's share together. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word, but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you, brother. I'll read the scripture for us in Spanish. Voy a leer unos versículos en español también. Santiago capítulo 1, versículos 19 al 21. Mis queridos hermanos, tengan presente esto. Todos deben estar listos para escuchar y ser lentos para hablar y para enojarse, pues la ira humana no produce la vida justa que Dios quiere. Por eso, despójense de toda inmundicia y de la maldad que tanto abunda, para que puedan recibir con humildad la palabra sembrada en ustedes, la cual tiene poder para salvarles la vida. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your precious, precious word.
Te damos gracias, Señor, por tu santa palabra.
And Lord, we thank you that you always meet us as we are, and you take us where we need to be. And Lord, we just pray that today you would help us to apply what your precious word says this morning, that we would be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen, God. That is the beginning of this wisdom from above, Lord. That is what it looks like to engage with a living God, Lord, who expresses that with us, who is patient with us, who is slow to anger with us, who is quick to mercy. Te damos gracias, Señor, porque tú eres un Dios misericordioso, un Dios que no se apura al enojo o la ira. And Lord, we just thank you that you're the one that gathers us here. And that's what we're asking for today, for wisdom, that you would guide us by your precious word into wisdom. Guíanos, Señor, por medio de tu palabra, a la sabiduría divina. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory, and we just pray that this morning you would open up our hearts and open up our minds to know your truth and your way. Show us true wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm really excited that we have the opportunity to start this new teaching series on the book of James that we're calling Wisdom from Above. So just a little bit of background on James before we get into some of these very important verses that we just looked at.
Un contexto del libro de Santiago.
So this book comes from James, who is actually the half-brother of Jesus. Sometimes people can think that Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God, but he was raised by Joseph and Mary. He was raised in a household with other half-brothers and even at least one half-sister, and maybe even more. We know some of their names. Some of the half-siblings of Jesus were actually James, who wrote this book, Joseph as well, Jude, Simon, and one of his sisters was probably named Salome, who you find in the book of Mark, who was actually present during the crucifixion. So Jesus grew up in a family. He was the Son of God, but he grew up raised by Mary and Joseph in a household with half-brothers and sisters. And James, who wrote this book, was one of the people, one of the half-brothers of Jesus, who actually grew up with him. He saw Jesus as a child, as a teenager, as he was developing to be the man, to be on the mission that God created him for, to save us. Santiago es el hermano de Jesucristo. Creció con Jesucristo en el hogar de José y María. So James was also the leader and pastor of one of the earliest Christian communities that ever happened. He was actually the leader and pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And one thing that we can see throughout the book of Acts and Galatians about the ministry of James is that he was a man that went through many, many challenges. Santiago era un hombre que pasó por bastantes desafíos. He went through, in his time as he was leading this congregation in Jerusalem, they went through a famine, they went through extreme poverty, they went through persecution, and he led this community for at least 20 years, and he served as their leader. James was actually, and he's going to talk about this more in the chapters to come, James is what is called a peacemaker. And that is the call for us, even as the people of God, even as us as we're leading in the areas that God has called us to lead in, that we would be peacemakers. So James was a peacemaker who led with wisdom and with courage. He did that all the way up until the point of his death. Santiago era un hombre de paz, que tenía sabiduría y también valentía. And he led with courage and wisdom all the way to the point of his death. In fact, this was his legacy. His legacy was that he would leave a book of wisdom that would encourage the people of God to live out their call, to be the people that they were created to be. This was his grand legacy in these beautiful five chapters. We see that James was actually a leader who led the people of God in highs and in lows. This teaching on wisdom, he puts it all together in these wonderful, simple five chapters. And I love that James, he deliberately decides to not leave his legacy be something else. He wasn't just all into material things, but he was most concerned with eternal things and with providing us access to how to gain eternal wisdom. Wisdom from above. Not just wisdom from this world. El libro de Santiago nos da sabiduría de Dios. So one thing that's very obvious when we read the book of James, and maybe you noticed it in Francis's reading, is that James sounds different than other books in the Bible. El libro de Santiago suena diferente a otros libros de la Biblia. And the most obvious difference in the way that James writes is that there's a major difference between the way James writes and the way that another Christian leader by the name of Paul writes. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. But James also wrote this very important book, only one book, but it sounds very different than Paul's letters. And that may seem like a very obvious thing to you, and it may not seem like that big of a deal, but believe it or not, discussing this tension, this difference between Paul and James has been one of the major debates for hundreds of years in the Christian community. And even for hundreds of years in seminaries, and people have gotten PhDs, people have done research on this, on what is this big difference between James and Paul. And it may seem extremely obvious to us, but it really is this. I love this writer by the name of Earl Palmer. He wrote this book that is literally called The Book That James Wrote. And really, the big takeaway from that is that, of course, James does not sound like Paul. The answer? Because James is James. James is not Paul. That may seem super simple to us, but believe it or not, there are tons of PhDs written on this difference between James and Paul. But of course, James is James and Paul is Paul. And I love the comfort and the confidence that James has in writing this part of the Bible. He's not trying to be someone that he's not. Instead, James is joyfully and boldly living into the man that God made him to be. So what do we see here? That in the very beginning, even in the way that James writes his letter, wisdom begins with accepting reality as it is, not as I would have it to be.
La sabiduría empieza con aceptar la realidad tal y como es y aceptándonos a nosotros tal como Dios nos hizo a nosotros, en vez de compararnos con otra persona.
So we see that reality begins with accepting reality and the way that God made me as I am. James is James. He is not trying to be someone else. He is not pretending to be Paul or to write like Paul. And this actually frees him from a number of things. This frees James in the way that he writes. It frees him from comparison. James is not comparing himself to Paul. It frees him from competition. James is not competing his book to Paul's book. And in fact, this is the invitation for us. We are free from comparison to others. We are free from competing with others. You need to be who God created you to be. You need to be who God purposed you to be. Everyone here in this room, you are not a mistake at all. In fact, the book of Ephesians tells us in chapter 2 that you are God's workmanship. You are His masterpiece. You were created for purpose. You have a God-given personality. You have a God-given gift set. You have spiritual gifts. You have a personality that can all be used for God's glory.
Todos aquí fuimos creados en la imagen de Dios con grandes propósitos para alabar a Dios.
So, here's the invitation. We need to be who we were created to be. And listen closely to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, oh, I just get to do what I want when I want and that's my excuse, Pastor Carlos says, I can be who I am. No, a lot of things that we say are who we are actually self-destructive. And they're actually taking us away from who we were called to be and who were we created to be. But God did create in you a God-given personality and a God-given spiritual gift set that you can use for His glory. Because here's the truth. If you're pretending to be someone else, then who is going to be you? Imagine if James was trying to pretend to be Paul. Who was going to write this wonderful book of wisdom from above? Who was going to take the place? Who is going to live out the God-given vision that God made for you? Because the truth is that if you're wanting to live out someone else's dream or someone else's identity or someone else's calling, then who is going to live out yours? God created you for purpose, for identity. Not to compare, not to compete, but to simply be who you were fearfully and wonderfully made to be. That's why I, even as a pastor, right? That's a temptation for everyone. To just compare or compete with others.
Even us as a church, we don't need to compare our church or compete with other churches. We can bless them and thank God, but we can move forward in what God has called us to be. Imago Church, created in the image of God. God has formed this community to be a gospel-centered, multicultural community where hope is built through restored relationships with God and with each other. The same with you in the areas that God has called you. As a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, you don't need to compare. You don't need to compete. As a student, just be who God created you to be and be your best. Align that with God's will. So we see here in the book of James that this is not just some theological teaching, but what James is trying to do is he's trying to confront us and challenge us, especially in the way that we live and in the way that we follow Jesus. James is inviting us to know that this is a living faith, that faith actually works, that faith leads to action. We see here in this book that the way that it is written, it is definitely influenced by two major resources. It is heavily influenced by the teachings of Jesus, especially by the Sermon on the Mount. And it is also heavily influenced by the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. You know, the Gospels tell us a little bit about the way that Jesus grew up. And it says that Jesus grew up in obedience and in stature. So he grew up with James. He grew up learning about the Word of God, learning about the Proverbs together. James, in this book, in many ways, I love the way that we can look at it, that the book of James is actually a new book of Proverbs in the New Testament. The book of James tells us what living a life of wisdom looks like. Not just what it sounds like, but what it looks like. And he writes this precious book of wisdom now after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Many of us know the way that the Bible is organized. There's the Old Testament before Jesus and the New Testament after Jesus. James writes this new book of wisdom after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He finds a way to tie it all together. In the book of Proverbs, we see that it tells us that God actually created the world by His wisdom. El libro de Proverbios nos dice que Dios creó toda la creación por medio de su sabiduría. We see in Proverbs 3:19 that it says that by wisdom the Lord laid the foundations of the world. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. So we see that God became like us and came to earth as Jesus. And what do we see here? What is James really emphasizing? That wisdom became flesh. The wisdom of God became a person in Jesus Christ. God wisdom became flesh and bone, and James says, I saw it, I experienced it. In James 1:22, it actually says this in verse 22 in chapter 1. He's saying, humbly accept the word planted in you that can save you. Humbly accept the word, humbly accept the wisdom of God. God offers His wisdom to us. He offers His wisdom to you. And perhaps one of the most beautiful things about the wisdom of God is that to receive the wisdom of God, all we have to do is ask. Ask, seek, and trust. Para recibir la sabiduría de Dios, necesitamos empezar con pedir la sabiduría de Dios y confiar en la sabiduría de Dios. So when we ask for God's wisdom, that leads us to trust in God's wisdom and to live out in our lives with wisdom. So living out lives of wisdom, that is what's called obedience. Obedience is wisdom in action. La obediencia es la sabiduría en acción. The wisdom of God became flesh, and that wisdom can become a part of our flesh James even says here in verse 22 that it can be implanted in us. It can be a part of our actions, a part of our character, a part of who we are. We can reflect the wisdom of God in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts. The wisdom of God can become a part of us. You know, it's something that you can even do before you go into challenging situations or beginning new seasons of life. Many of us have started a new school year, or new jobs, or new opportunities, or new seasons in our families. And it's been a habit that I've had for several years to simply seek God's wisdom in the moment. You can ask God before going into that conversation, before going into that meeting, before going into that new class or that new job. You can ask God and say, Lord, would you give me your wisdom? Give me humility. Give me love. Help me to live that out. Siempre podemos pedir por la sabiduría de Dios y Él nos las dará. James here had a first-hand account of what Jesus was like. And that is something very, very special. He grew up with Jesus and with the book of Proverbs, learning the Proverbs with Jesus and seeing them lived out by Jesus. And James passes that on directly to us. And just to give us a brief little side note here about the relationship between James and Jesus, who were half brothers. I really believe this. I believe that James is actually proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Because even James, as his own half brother, he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, I don't know about you, but anyone here that has brothers and sisters knows how difficult it is to convince your brothers and sisters of anything, or how difficult it is for them to even acknowledge an achievement of any sort, right? Maybe I'm the only one that grew up with brothers and sisters like that. But really, to see this, that James himself, as the half-brother of Jesus, he believed in Jesus as the Son of God. You know, in my case as well, I can imagine what this would even look like with my own brothers and sisters. I've talked to some of you about some of our own family dynamics, and I've shared a bit about my family as well. I'm the first pastor in my family, and you know, there really is no reference to what the work I do or the path or the calling that I have is for them. So they just kind of go with the flow. But it's still different for many of them in many ways. And I can really picture, you know, even some of the difficulty of my brother and sister accepting the fact that I am a pastor. I can picture a scenario where all of us being together and even getting a call from one of you in the congregation while being in front of you, or them seeing a letter that's addressed to me, addressed to Reverend Carlos Coro or Pastor Carlos Coro. That's just different for them. And I can even imagine the conversation if I were with someone from the congregation and I'm referred to as Pastor Carlos Coro. I mean, my brother and sister, probably their first question would be, why do they call you that? Why do they call you pastor? And they know it in their head, but acknowledging it is a very different thing. You know, and then I can try to answer and say, well, they call me Pastor Carlos because God has called me to be the spiritual leader of this church. To which their response would be, really? You're right. No, you're always going to be little bro or big bro or whatever it is. Because that's the reality. God has not called me to be a pastor to my brother or sister. I'm always going to be big brother to my younger sister and younger brother to my older brother. But James, in this case, is actually living proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Because we see here, how does he introduce himself? He says, I am James, in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book that James wrote, as we see, is not just another theological argument. It's not as depthy, perhaps, as some of the writings of Paul. But we see here that this is a new book of Proverbs, a book that gives us access to the wisdom from above, access to the wisdom of God. The goal of James is that we as God's people would not only know about wisdom or know about God, but that we would live out lives that reflect the wisdom of God, the true wisdom from above. The wisdom from above, which is found in full devotion to Jesus. That's the wisdom of God becoming flesh. Wisdom came to us, and now we have direct access to it. So we see here in verse 19 and 20, what James says in many ways is the beginning of a life of true wisdom. He already says, accepting reality as it is, not as we would have it. Persevering, he talks about as well in chapter 1. But then in verse 19, he says the key to wise relationships, especially with other people. And he says this in verse 19. Dice, la clave a vivir una vida sabia, especialmente en nuestras relaciones interpersonales. En el versículo 19 nos dice, in verse 19, he tells us this key to wise relationships beginning here. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because the human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So what do we see here? Wisdom is not hurried. Wisdom is often slow. Wisdom requires patience with one another. Wisdom requires process and walking through things together. Not just walking around or getting over quickly. But we see here that wisdom from above begins with being slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. You know, I've been able to do a lot of counseling, especially to couples and young people and people preparing to get married as well, and even others that are maybe going through things at their workplace. And I've read this passage, and I've translated it even for our context today in 2019. What if part of wisdom and living out true wisdom today begins with this, saying, my dear brothers, take note of this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So what if we apply it today and say, we are called to be quick to listen, slow to speak, but also slow to text, slow to hit send on that email, slow to comment, slow to do whatever it is we do in this context. Wisdom invites us to slow down, to trust in God. Because true wisdom is not hurried. True wisdom requires patience. So what we're going to do now is something a little bit different. We've done this a few times before in the past, where it's not going to be so much me just continuing the points of the sermon, but I just want to share with you, heart to heart, as your pastor, some of the things I've learned, especially in wisdom when it comes to relationships with those around us, with families, with those that we're called to walk alongside with. What God calls us to do is, in true wisdom, in our relationships, to shepherd and care for those that God has called us to walk alongside with. You know, when there's a disagreement, that's going to happen. People disagree. And that's a part of growing in relationship. But when we enter into times of confrontation or conflict, which we see here, James is being very confrontational with us. But when we have to confront some of those moments, we need to know that we are called to shepherd that, not just to be swallowed up by it. And in any kind of conflict, I need to know that I am in control of myself. I will walk alongside those that God has entrusted me to guide. Because the highest calling that we have is to point people to the glory of God. Not just to get people's approval. Not just to get the cookie points for people pleasing. Or getting the self-congratulation. But the highest calling we have in our relationships is to point people to the glory of God. And we're only able to do that through walking in true wisdom. True wisdom begins with seeking God first, with making the main thing the main thing. You know, again, right now we're just talking about a few practical tips in living out true wisdom in our relationships, in our friendships, in our families. But the truth there in our workplaces. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase before, or the quote, I don't know the exact definition for success, but I do know the definition for failure, which is trying to please everyone all the time. That's what's going to lead to emotional imbalance or to unstable emotional balance. It's always going to be rooted in misplaced dependence. That's what James is saying here. When we only depend on people or on circumstances or on approval from others, those things are constantly changing. We will be tossed back and forth emotionally. This is what it means when James is saying about not being double-minded. Don't be tossed back and forth. In verse 6, it says this. We're going to read verses 6 to 8. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being blown and tossed by the wind back and forth. That's that emotional instability. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Wow. Wisdom here. James is even talking about some of these things that psychologists and therapists talk about today. Emotional balance will always begin with redirecting our dependence toward God. Redirecting it from people, from circumstances that always change, to God who never changes. Dependence on God is what it means to be single-minded. When we're dependent on people and circumstances, we're going to be tossed back and forth in the wind, like James is saying here. We will be unstable, but only true stability comes from dependence on God. In verse 17, it says here, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Friends, part of the beautiful promise here is that if we want to participate in the kingdom of God, we have access to the true wisdom of God. Yes, there will be challenging times, but we have direction and guidance on how to go about that. There will be times of conflict and disagreement. And in fact, the cross is actually how God dealt with and responded to conflict and disagreement with humanity. On the cross is where we see that God was slow to anger. He was quick to mercy. This is where Jesus, the wisdom of God, where he had his victory. So just a couple of very brief points, just to name, and we'll conclude and we'll pray. And together as a church, we're going to ask for God's wisdom. A couple of practical tips in how to apply wisdom in our relationships with the friends, with the church, with the family, with the workmates, with those that God has placed around us. So God calls us to shepherd and tend to the relationships around us. So here's a couple of just very practical tips, and I think that we can see these directly throughout these five chapters in James as well. But knowing this, that the way we walk wisely in our relationships with others, it begins with really knowing that helping does not mean fixing. And I'm just going to name some of these things, and we can talk a lot more later. And also, acceptance does not mean agreement. Acknowledging does not mean celebrating. But we can do these things. We can help others. We can accept and we can acknowledge without necessarily fixing, agreeing, or celebrating. You know, and when we have hard conversations or difficult moments with those that we love or those that are around us, we can go into those times by asking for God's wisdom. Like I mentioned earlier, simply asking, Lord, would you give me your wisdom, humility, and love? There's several scriptures that we can hold on to as well. We can hold on to Matthew 28:20, which reminds us that God will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. Or Joshua 1:9 that says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Or when we need to grow up and mature in our way of speaking, in our way of being, we can look to 1 Corinthians 13:11, which reminds us, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became mature, I had to give up childish ways. So the wisdom of God always invites us into that next space, into that next level. And again, these are just some very basic practical tips. In a challenging situation or challenging conversation with someone, the solution is not just fixing them. God's going to do that. I can't be God to another person. That's part of what it means to have healthy boundaries. But what I can do is listen. As James says, I can be quick to listen. I can share from the heart. And we can pray together. And then after listening, sharing, and praying, I can entrust that person or that situation over to God. We can learn to ask different types of questions. That will make us wise in our relationships. We can learn to ask, help me understand, rather than just simply, why? When someone asks why, it's often a defensive response. We can practice really listening, rather than just waiting for our turn to talk. We can embrace awkward moments rather than just trying to fill them or fill the silence with a quick solution. And we can thank people for being who they are, for sharing honestly and authentically as well. Those are just a few very brief spiritual tips on how to walk alongside and how to live out this wisdom in our relationships. But here's the good news, that even in our relationships with others and those around us, in Jesus' timing, anything that is broken can be healed. Anything that is really needing of just restoration will be restored in God's timing. All conflict will be resolved. En el tiempo de Dios, todo el conflicto y desacuerdo será restaurado. So when dealing with people, and that's exactly who we're dealing with in our day-to-day lives, in our relationships, it's with people. We're going to have moments of disagreement, of conflict, of confrontation, even like James is doing here in this passage. But we can apply this. These words that will be the foundation of true wisdom in our lives with others, which are James's words. And we'll conclude with this in verse 19. Reading it once again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, the word that can save you. Here's the reality. We cannot save ourselves. Nosotros mismos no nos podemos salvar. It is only the Word, the wisdom of God, which can save us. The wisdom of God, which can restore us. And the wisdom of God, which can heal us and guide us. So that's what we're going to do today as we conclude this time together. We're going to pray together, and we're going to ask for the wisdom of God. For the wisdom of God to guide us in our coming and in our going and in these new chapters that are beginning. So I'm going to invite everyone to just bow your head, and we're going to close our eyes, and we're going to pray that God would bring down this wisdom from above to guide us, to shape us. Vamos a orar juntos y vamos a orar que Dios nos guíe por medio de su sabiduría en esta nueva etapa. So let's just take a moment to center ourselves, to trust in God. That's really the beginning of wisdom. Accepting that we can't do it on our own. That we need something more. We need someone more to show us the way. Necesitamos, Dios, que tú nos guíes y tú nos enseñes el camino de tu sabiduría. Some of us are actually preparing or just finished up this week a new school year. Some of us are beginning a new work year. We have teachers here that are starting up once again the new academic season. Students that are starting a new grade. We have parents here that are figuring out what this new season is going to look like. We have folks here that perhaps are just starting a new job. We have others going to that next step in their relationship, some preparing for marriage, some preparing for just growing in deeper commitment to each other, deeper commitment to church, deeper commitment to God. And today we're going to seek God's wisdom. Hoy vamos a buscar la sabiduría de Dios, la promesa de Dios. Verse 7 of this beautiful passage, James reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who delights in giving us His wisdom from above. The God that we worship delights in granting you the wisdom to live that out, to be the man you were created to be the woman you were created to be the leader, the disciple that He created you for. And today we're going to do something similar. There's this beautiful story in the Old Testament where Solomon, who's known as one of the most wise in all of the Bible and all of history, he comes before God and he says this: God appeared to Solomon and God said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon responded, "Lord, give me now wisdom. Give me wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people." So just like Solomon, we this morning, we are before the Lord and He is asking us, "Ask what I shall give you." And today you can respond that. You can say, "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom and knowledge to begin this new chapter. Give me wisdom and knowledge to begin this new school year. Or to have this hard conversation with a family member. Give me wisdom and knowledge to grow deeper in love of you and of my neighbor. Give us wisdom, O God. Danos sabiduría, Dios Santo. Give us wisdom, truth, and courage, Lord. That we may walk with you and reflect who you are. It's in the faithful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen."